This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministry, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Lord, we just wait on you patiently. We thank you, God, for your presence and your peace. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing, your grace. Lord, without you, we're nothing. But Lord, with you, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Lord, we thank you now. We just want to tell you how much we love and appreciate your kindness, your grace toward us. Great is your mercies toward us, and your loving kindness toward us, your tender mercies. Morning by morning we see new mercies. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and we thank you. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, Lord. We praise your name for your word. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name. Father, have your way in this place. Lord, do what you want to do. Lord, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, topic to this particular message, what we need to grow. Some things that we need to grow that you'll find in the text today. Amen. 1 minute, this is this way. The next minute, you know, this is the way. And the next minute, it's something else. And then you go back to the first thing. If you wishy-washy, then you, the Bible said, don't expect to receive anything from God. Preach. Don't expect it. Tell you, don't expect it. Is it all right to talk to you like this? If it ain't, I'm still talking because I ain't going to get in trouble with God. Then he says, verse 2, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now look at this. This is what we need to grow. We need first to lay aside our hindrances, right? Yeah. Then we need to long for the word. Yeah. You know what a longing is? A longing means I desire it so much that I can't rest. You know how if you don't buy that game for your child, how they go cry and they cry and they cry because you, or you don't let them go somewhere, they cry. They long to go. It's their desire that, you know how it is. So you got to have a desire for the word. Yeah. The problem is we don't have a desire for the word until something goes wrong. Amen. We have to have a desire for the word. The Bible says that Job said, I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to have to pump it up so I don't put y'all to sleep. Huh? Amen. Y'all still there? Yeah. I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. In other words, I want God's word more than I eat. I want his word morning, noon, and night. I want to be reminded of his word because I need this to grow just like you feed a baby. Look at this. Let me show you something. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word, just like that. And so a baby eats more. Let me tell you something. If you have anybody had newborns, well, a newborn doesn't eat just 3 times a day. Every 2 hours, that newborn needs some milk. I wish I had somebody. And then maybe you keep it on their stomach a little longer by pinching a little cereal in the milk or whatever you do to try to hope that he might stay asleep a little longer, but eventually they're going to wake up and they're going to cry because the only thing that's going to satisfy them is milk. You can give them water, they're going to cry. You can try to hold them, they're going to cry. You can change their diaper, they're still going to cry. Until they get that milk, then they'll shut. I wish I had somebody in here The reason why so many of us are crying like babies is because we ain't got the word. That so many of us getting motivational speeches. And I'm so sick and tired. Lord have mercy. I know this is going to go live, but listen, I'm so sick and tired of people putting philosophy on Facebook as if it's scripture. They got some kind of little saying to say, a little quotation. What about the word of God? There are 66 books in the Bible. There's so many quotes that you can quote. I can quote Peter. I can quote Paul. I can quote Jeremiah. I can quote Jesus over and over again. But then we don't want to do that. We want to say something that seems like it blows people's mind. But guess what? That don't satisfy me. I still need the word of God. I still need to get his word, because that ain't going to help me grow. All that's going to do is rot my teeth. All that's going to do is stunt my growth, because that ain't nothing but sugar. You know how you say, don't give them all that sugar because they'll never eat table food. And that's the problem. We got baby Christians coming in and we take them from getting a little bit of milk to giving them sugar, and now they don't want no food. Now they don't want to eat the meat of the word. Now they don't want to receive it. I wish I had somebody in the house. I'm so tired of it that it makes me sick. I wonder why in the world that nobody uses the scripture anymore. Everybody want to philosophize and tell you what thus said the Lord from their mind. But I can tell you that the word of God never fails. My mind might fail. I wish I had somebody. My speech might fail. But the word of God, the Bible said that it will never fail. Not one jot or tittle will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. I wish I had somebody in the house that believed like I believe, that I need the word of God. I need to know what God's word said about me, that when I'm down, his word said that he'll lift me up out of the muck and miry clay. I need to know what the word of God says about me, that when I'm sick, he said, with the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. I wish I had somebody. When I got all manner of evil around me, I need to know that the word of God says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you know what? I don't ever get tired of it. I can hear it over and over, because it satisfies my soul to know what thus saith the Lord. It lets me know that he's thinking about me. It lets me know that he wants me to prosper. It lets me know that he's making a way out of no way. It lets me know that I'm not a victim, but I'm a victor, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I need the word. I don't need what you say. I need you to give me the word. I don't need what you think. I need you to give me the word. I don't need what Oprah said or what he said, they said. I need what God said, because only what God said is going to grow me. Only what God said is going to keep me from going back to that mess. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can I preach like a grown man should? We got to get the word of God. We got to grow up. And I know one thing, I can't keep going back to that mess. So the only thing going to keep me is the word. You know what? It's some people that benefit off of just you not getting the word and you getting the philosophy, because you keep coming back to them. You keep coming back to them and you need them in order to make it. But when you get the word, you don't need them. You just need God. That's why they only want to give you some philosophy. They don't want to give you. They'll give you little quotes and little bits and pieces of this and that. And thus said the Lord, this and that. They don't give you the word of God. And the reason why is because you got to keep coming back to them and get something. You got to keep coming back to get that encouragement. But when I got the word of God, if I don't get to the church, I still know that I'm going to be all right. If I got the word of God, if I don't see none of y'all and I'm somewhere else that I don't know nobody, I still know that God is my protector. I still know that he's the lifter of my head. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I still know that he'll make a way out of no way. I still know that God will be my protector, that I can hide in the secret place. I still know that he's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I still know he's the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid? I still know when the enemy came in to eat up my flesh, they'll stumble and fall. I still know if a host would rise up against me, I don't have to fear, because I'm going to be all right. I still know that this battle is not mine. It belongs to God. Do I have anybody? Oh, yeah. You got to long for the word. Long for the word. Every 2 hours, a baby wakes up crying.
because they want to be fed the milk. And what Peter is trying to tell us is that you can't go very long without the word. You got to keep getting that word. You got to keep holding on to that word. You got to keep being reminded of that word, because you know you'll forget some of the things that you've already been taught. So you need to be reminded of the word. Y'all can sit down here. Hallelujah. Got a few more things to say. I ain't even halfway through the teaching portion of the message. Said that you may grow. Thereby, what makes me grow is the word. Now, how do I know this? Because faith makes me grow. Faith, he says, come by hearing, and hearing by the word. We got to hear the word. Yes. See, that's why he said that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by philosophy. Not by men's thoughts, but by the word. Yes. Not by reading a good magazine, hearing a good motivational speech, but by the word. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The reason why we faint is because we don't have faith. Yeah. And why don't we have faith? Because we ain't hearing the word. Amen. Y'all with me still? Yeah. I long for the word of God. I want the word. I got to have some word. Hungry for it. I thirst. Jesus said, "They that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they what? Shall be filled." Yeah. We need to know that God intends to fill us. Right. And what that fill means is to be satisfied. Amen. I ain't satisfied till I get the word. And they talk about me all they want. I don't care. And say that I'm too old-fashioned because I stick with the scripture and too traditional. I don't care. But what I know when I'm done, I ain't going to have no... I'm not going to be in trouble with God because I didn't stick to his word. Amen. That's what I do know. Amen. Now, I don't know if they all right. If God told them to do that, fine. But I'm not going to do it because he ain't telling me to get away from the word. Yes. They don't even read scriptures no more. No. And we wonder why people are in the state that they're in. Amen. It's because we don't get the scripture. Amen. We don't understand what God said. Do you think God has an obligation to do what somebody else said he'd do? He don't. His obligation is to his word. Amen. Now, they may paraphrase, and that's fine. But all this other stuff, uh-uh. Now, we got to have the word. If you want to grow, you got to have the word. If you want change, you got to have the word. Amen. When people tell me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest. When people tell me they don't feel like they got to go to church and they got to hear the word like that to grow, I don't take them serious. I don't. I'm just going to be honest. The reason why I don't take them serious is because if you're serious about growing, if you're serious about learning, if you're serious about doing the will of God, you will go where God is. Amen. You will get in the vehicle that God has chosen for you to get into to learn about him. It's just like when people tell me, when preachers say, well, now I don't believe the Lord want me to go to school so I learn because he never told me that. I don't take their ministry serious. Because you mean to tell me you don't want to sharpen your skills so you can help other people grow. And that you can give them information that will be helpful to their life because you're too ignorant to realize that he said study to show yourself approved. Have mercy. I don't care if they don't like me, they don't like me now. So we got to long for the word. He says in verse 3, if it be so, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You got to, if you ever get the word, you realize the graciousness of God. That he gives you, not because he has to or because you're any good, but because he loves you. You start to realize that his steadfast love never ceases. You start to realize that it's through love and kindness that he drew me into this. He allowed me to go through some stuff in the world, but guess what? The stuff that could have killed me didn't. The stuff that could have took me out didn't, because he drew me into. But we complain about the stuff that we dealt with, the stuff that we encountered, and God said, I didn't let it take you out. It taught you something. But the Lord is what? Gracious. I'm trying to move to a close quickly. Verse 4 through verse 9 tells us this. This is the other thing we need. We not only need to lay aside all hindrances, but we need to long for the word, and we need to live up to our godly expectation. That's the third thing. When you start to realize that you have a purpose and God has a plan for your life and you want to start living up to your godly expectation, nothing that anybody say will do. You want to hear what God says.
Amen.
When you start wanting to live up to your godly expectation, you don't settle for less. You always go for the more. Amen.
Amen.
Remember Peter, I like this now. Remember Peter, he told Peter, throw your nets out. And Peter told him something about how we've been doing. And then Peter turned around and said, nevertheless. In other words, it's nevertheless with God. And when they pulled the nets up, they had more, so much that they had to call their buddies to come and help them get the net in. So it's nevertheless with God. It's always the more. God will always bless you with more than enough. It's always more with God. It's always more. How do I know it's always more? Because he always gives us more. Remember when Ruth came in, and it was the law that you had to leave a little scraps out there for people to get, and she came in, she started getting the scraps, right? It's always more. Tell somebody, there's got to be more. She got the scraps, and then when Boaz saw her out there, the next thing you know, he said, leave a little extra, leave some good stuff out there for her. And so she started to get the good stuff. But then she went and uncovered Boaz's feet, and I ain't going to tell you what that means, but she ended up being Boaz's wife. She went and she was gleaning from the field, then she had a little more extra from the field, and then she owned the field. There's always more in God, but it's all about your maturity and your relationship with the one who owns it all. She owned the field after that. So verse number four says, to whom coming as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen by God and precious. See, here's the thing. Jesus, he's speaking of Jesus, disallowed of men, but chosen of God.
Right.
Not only did they disallow him or did not choose him back when he was walking the earth in his physical body, but we still don't choose him today. Why? Because the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who's that Word? Jesus. And so since they don't choose the Word, they're not choosing Jesus.
Amen.
They're not choosing him.
Amen.
We're not choosing him when we don't choose the Word.
Amen.
Y'all still with me here?
Amen.
Y'all going home? But he says that ye also, now look at this. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, what was he saying? Now, before we have to understand that Jesus is our high priest, right? And then we have to understand that we are in him as the body of believers. We are his body.
Amen.
And the reason why the world is in shambles is because of us. I know nobody don't want to say amen.
Amen.
But the reason for a priest is so that a priest could go to God on behalf of the people and also represent God to the people.
Yes.
But we're not representing. We say, and then we ain't even going to God on behalf of the people because we don't like half of them. They get what they get, right? That's how we act. They get what they get. That's what they get now. If something go wrong, that's what they get. They should have been at church. They should have did this. They ain't want that. But what about your prayers? Somebody prayed for you. I realized somebody prayed for me. They put me on the prayer list at the church. I was so bad. I know they prayed for me. I would not have made it if they would not have prayed for me. Amen. And so we got to understand, he said that now they didn't choose Jesus, but God chose him. Just like you, you are lively stones. You are a stone. The stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone, right? And so what does that mean here? That means to us that Jesus being the chief cornerstone, he is the stone that we ought to measure up to. He's the one that is set for plumbing, amen, or for you to get something level. In other words, to be on a level, you got to go to the main source of the level. And so if Jesus is the source, if he is the cornerstone that levels every other stone, why are we comparing ourselves to other folks? Why do we have comparisonitis?
That's a disease. You know that? It's like arthritis. It takes over you and it cripples you from being great. Amen. Why do we compare ourselves to if somebody else did this or somebody else did? And what about them? If we start comparing ourselves, why do we compare ourselves? We got to stop comparing ourselves to other people. Better than yet, you have to stop comparing your church to other churches. That's why some people couldn't stay here because they went and compared. This is not a car that you compare Motor Trend. This is not a house that you look at and say, oh, this one got that. This one has an open floor plan. This one don't. No, this is not how you compare. This is not clothes that you look, which one you think is better. That's not how this is. It's about the word of God. Basically, where do I get the word? Where do I get the truth? I'm not looking for, the worst excuse in the world is when we start talking about how people praise God. But what about you in that church? You there, you ain't praising him? You ain't praising. We gotta stop that. If you ain't praising, you can't talk about the church dead. Because let me tell you something. I don't care what church I go in, I'm not going to be dead. If I go to the graveyard, I may be the only one living. Come on and say amen. So if I go to a church that's like a graveyard, then I'm going to be the only one living. So they going to hear from me. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm going to make some noise. They gonna know I ain't one of them. Lord have mercy in the house. Y'all don't want none of that. We gotta know, we gotta understand here that we are lively stones. We are living stones, amen. And a lively stone means that you ain't dead. That you alive. And he said, build up a spiritual house. And so God wants us to build up, be a spiritual house. In other words, when we come together, let me tell you how important it is for you to be in the place. The Bible says first that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, as we see that they're approaching. We need to make sure that we come together. Why? Because here's the reason. Because we are built up as a spiritual house. And you know, when you're a spiritual house, you got to get in your place. And so a brick by itself is just a brick. But when you stack them bricks on top of each other, then they make something. They make a fortress. They make a house. They make something that you can dwell in, something that you can get into. Amen. And so what I'm saying is that you by yourself, God ain't really getting into you like that. Amen. But when we come together, he comes in this place. I wish I had somebody, because we are a spiritual house for him, and he will live here. Now, he'll visit you. Like we do, we pick up bricks, we pick them up, and yeah, we handle them, we throw them, we do whatever we want to with them, and that's what God do. He picks us up, amen. He handles us, he places us in different places. But guess what? If we are a spiritual house, when we come together, he dwells in there, he stays with us. Because, and look, it ain't about this building at all, it's about if we're in place in him and we build up a spiritual house, then he dwells there, he stays there, and whatever's in him is in us. Whatever he can do, we can do. You don't remember when Jesus said, not only did he say we'll be blessed, but he said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. And all I'm trying to tell you is we can't live up to our godly potential and expectations if we just stay on our own like this. We must join up with one another. We must begin to believe, amen. We must believe to get the word of God and know that the word of God is true. We must share with one another. We must love one another. We must make sure love abides. We must forgive one another. Y'all don't hear me in here. I ain't worried about who ain't forgave me, because I surely forgive them. Maybe we did something to each other, but it don't mean that I gotta stay mad. You can be mad all by yourself, because I'm gonna be happy and glad, and I'm gonna go on and be with the Lord. Y'all don't hear me in this house. Now, I may not fool with you like I used to, but I still love you. Come on and say amen. Tell somebody, I may not fool with you like I used to, but I still love you. And if you need anything, come holler at me. I'll tell your neighbor, amen. We got to live up to our godly expectation. I'm trying to get finished. He said that we are a spiritual house and we are holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Now what? When he says acceptable to God by Christ Jesus, we need to know acceptable to God by Christ Jesus mean that it is through Christ. This is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Ain't no other way, right? All right, so by him, we offer up spiritual sacrifices. And a sacrifice, we need to know, is not easy. A sacrifice ain't just, you know, you handle it nonchalant. That's how we've been handling church for too long. We've been nonchalant. We give what we want to give. We go when we want to go, do what we want to do. But that's not a spiritual sacrifice. A spiritual sacrifice is when it hurts, I still give. A spiritual sacrifice is when I don't want to, I still do it. A spiritual sacrifice is when I just can't seem to break this thing. I'm still trying my best to get through what I got to get through. I wish I had somebody. And the Bible says we ought to present, not only present spiritual sacrifices, but he says present our bodies, Romans 12, a living sacrifice. You are alive. You are living. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. And that's why he ain't after your dead money. He's after your heart. He really wants you. I wish I had somebody. And just so you know, he knows that where your heart is, your treasure will be. So he challenges you to give your treasure, but he really wants your heart. Do I have anybody in the house? You keep talking about God knows my heart. That's why he keeps giving you grace, because, yeah, he knows your heart. He know you ain't going to act right. He know you ain't going to do right. He know you a liar when you want to be. He know, come on and say amen. He know you a scam booger, a scammer. He know you ain't right, but he still gives you grace. Come on and shout amen in here. He said, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. In the scripture. Behold, I lay at Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Look at this. He said, it is written in my word, and that's why it's important to know what's written. It's important to know what's written, because if you don't know what's written, you don't know what you got. You don't know what you... Look. When you go buy a car and then something go wrong with it and you drive up there, you say, oh, Lord, I'm finna have to come off this money. But when you get there, they look it up and they say, oh, in your warranty, you ain't got to pay for that. That's under warranty. Yeah. See, that, and that's the problem with so many of us. We don't know what's written because we didn't read. God have mercy. And God is saying, I already got that paid for. I already promised you that. I already got that for you. I already did what needed to be done, but I needed to bring you. Come on and say amen. You see, that's the problem here. A lot of times we don't understand when something goes wrong. But the only way we'll know if what's written is if we find out that something has went Lord have mercy. Somebody, two people got it. Three people got it. And see, you, unless something go wrong in your life, you don't know what's written. And so God lets things go wrong in your life. Just like when something go wrong with your car, you don't know what's written till you get there and they tell you what's written. And so that's why I'm here today. I'm the service guy that came to help you out, to let you know that it's already done. Can I say it like this? It's already did. Come on and shout hallelujah. I came to let you know that you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to come out your pocket. You ain't got, I wish I had somebody here. Or you ain't got to come out $99.99 to get this blessing. But the Lord said, I bless you with a blessing that no man can curse. I wish I had somebody that was in the house of God today that realized God blessed you even if you didn't give. God bless you even if you, I wish I had somebody that he already said, I ain't really after your money, but I really want your heart. I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Somebody say yes in here and give God some praise. I wish I had somebody now that said it's contained in the scripture. But look at verse number 7. He said, believe that he is precious. But before I get to that, he said, he shall not be confounded. He said, in other words, God won't disappoint you because of what he's written. God won't let you down because of what he said. And his word is on the line. And he said in his word that I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I gotta repent. All I'm telling you is that if God said it, just believe it. It's gonna be all right. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor,
It's gonna be all right. If God said it, go to sleep. If God said it, let's go eat. If God said it, do your dance. If God said it, jump for joy and praise him and let him know, I thank you, Lord, that it's already all right. Say yes. Say yes in here. I'm trying to live up to godly expectations, but when I realize